Happy Tuesday, Cyclone Nation. Welcome to a brand new installment of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast, brought to you by the Iowa Clinic Men's Center, iamenscenter.com. My name is Chris Williams, joined today by Rob Gray, our senior writer, our grizzled veteran senior writer. What's up, Rob?
Not much.
Did you not appreciate the open? Because you gave me a look there.
Just still settling in to the title.
The senior writer, but it's a badge of honor.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it denotes, I guess whenever I see the word senior, it just reminds me of how old and, but grizzled, I believe the term is.
Seasoned.
I am.
You're a seasoned veteran.
Seasoned. We'll go with that. Good to be here.
So are you enjoying writing for the Fanatics?
Of course.
Don't lie. If some of them are driving you, if they're bothering you.
No.
This is a safe place. The Iowa Clinic Men's Center podcast.
I couldn't think of any place safer, frankly. here's the deal. I mean, I'm on the move so much. Anyway, you know, really the only way I'm interacting a ton is via Twitter and social media. So, I've enjoyed that interaction. That's for sure.
That's good.
But I'm just very rarely, unless I'm in, pretty concerted effort mode on writing a story or two or three when I'm sitting at the computer browsing about. But no, I've enjoyed it. It's a great place.
That's good. That's good. You haven't had the best football team to write about. So full disclosure, everybody, it's about 1:45 on Tuesday afternoon. We're not going to talk about basketball because there's a basketball game tonight. We wanted to get this out there. This is a football Big 12 / podcast. And I'm actually going to miss I haven't missed a basketball game in Hilton in almost 5 years. Tonight's the first one I'll miss.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yep.
I got this baby care class.
Uh-huh.
This, daddy boot camp.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm verbally committed. It's a solid commitment to the wife. She scheduled this without looking at Iowa State's basketball calendar, but I figured if you and Jared Stansberry can't handle the coverage of the UMKC Kangaroos, we got major problems.
That could be. This class you're going to go through.
Yeah.
And you've been going through.
Sounds intimidating.
Well, I'm glad my wife, I guess, just said, don't worry about it.
My wife knows that I'm 30 and have never changed a diaper. I wouldn't even know how to put a diaper on a child. I swear. I would not. If you'd put a doll in a diaper, it would take me a good 5 minutes to figure out how to put that diaper on the child.
Well, are you going to use cloth diapers or something?
No. No, we're using the real thing. I refuse to put all of that fecal matter in my washing machine.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, that's a sound environmental choice, but we did the same thing, the Pampers and the Cruisers and all that.
Sorry.
It's pretty easy. I mean, I'm telling you, man, it's easy.
Not washing all of the crap with my sweaters. It's not happening.
It makes sense. You could do separate loads, but that's a
no. It doesn't matter because once the crap has been in there, it's always in there.
That's a profound statement that I think could apply to so many different things.
So
not just washing machines, but
yes,
life.
Anyway, it's you know what this sounds like? This sounds like us at the bar.
It does.
Yeah, which I guess is what the podcast is supposed to
that's
be.
That's what coffee causes
Amen.
Us to say.
Cheers. IAMenCenter.com. I usually when's the last – how often do you get a physical? I mean, you're old.
Yeah, I am. I had one – I prefer to think of myself as a grizzled veteran.
Seasoned.
Had one a little while ago, actually.
Good for you. Did
my
you go to the Iowa
cholesterol numbers
Men's
were
Center?
Better. I – my wife – well, I just – let's just say I had a very, very thorough physical.
Okay. And, well, you understand the importance of
my cholesterol numbers were better than they've ever been. Mine tend to run high.
Good for you.
And, the good cholesterol was good, all kinds of good stuff. I could get in triglycerides, but I'd better stop.
Yeah. Well, we should. We should move on to football because we don't have much time. You've got to get up to wrestling availability. I've enjoyed your wrestling coverage, by the way.
Thank you.
We're trying to do more for the wrestling fanatics out there. The problem is there just aren't many of you. There just aren't. And I hope that someday there are a ton of you. I hope Kevin Jackson's program – I don't want to spend too much time talking about wrestling. But since you're going up there, I figured it'd be – what, Gabe Marino? We're going to write about Gabe Marino?
Yeah, he had a really nice nice meet in Vegas, the Cliff Keen Invitational.
He's a product of Clarinda High School.
Yes, he is.
And then he went to Urbandale, of course. His father Mike, my old PE teacher. Love him. Anyways.
Great guy.
Because I think that Iowa State wrestling has legs. I think it could be very, very popular. But they have to be better than an average program.
Yeah.
People aren't going to. It's same with volleyball, but wrestling to a larger degree. But I feel like if volleyball was like a Final Four caliber program every year, you would see women's basketball type of support.
Yeah.
But if they're, you know, one and done, it's never going to gain much traction consistently. And I feel like wrestling, the diehards are always going to be there. But for a casual fan like me of the sport, I'm a casual – I'm a UFC guy. I love UFC. I watch MMA all the time.
Yep.
But I like for me, like the only time I've ever watched wrestling in high school is when my friends were wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
So I go watch them. But I feel like if Iowa State ever is like a perennial – like they used to be.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that this fan base would gravitate towards.
Oh, there's no question. You know, it's been a while, and a couple of years ago we're really kind of a low point. You know, didn't perform at nationals and started to show signs. Picked up, actually surprised some people last season, and now it's just a matter of everybody consistently believing, because I know they have a lot of competition in that room. I mean, you see it at 141 where Dante Rodriguez, they were really at high hopes for John Meeks. You know.
Yeah.
Sterling high school career at Des Moines Roosevelt.
He was like undefeated or something, wasn't he?
Yeah, and Rodriguez, kind of took the spot from him. I mean, we'll see if it holds, but Gabe was a guy that the light came on for him last season, did some things at the NCAAs, and, you know, somewhat like his brother, Mike, Mike or Michael, I think he goes by either.
He'll always be Mikey to me.
But
I was his Little League baseball coach.
Nice.
Gabe was in T-ball.
Could Mike, he's a good fielder.
You know why I know Mike? I knew Mike would be successful. I've never coached a kid who was harder on himself than Mike was. Like, if he would strike out, he would go and beat himself up too much.
Yep.
You know, he wouldn't let it go because he wanted to be perfect. And that's what it takes, especially in that sport.
Yep.
You've got to be nuts. And Gabe, man, he in T-ball, I mean, he's jacking home runs and he was a stud.
Yeah.
He was clearly both of those kids athletically.
Oh yeah.
I mean, when you're talking Southwest Iowa, clearly, if you're a Division I wrestler at that level, you're going to be head and shoulders above most kids, and each of them absolutely were.
Yeah.
But I am a proud supporter of the Marino boys.
Yeah.
I take the journalism hat off. I don't care. They're the best in the country.
No, they're good guys to support. They're good guys to support.
All right, let's move on to football. I do want to have an in-depth wrestling talk at some point.
Mm-hmm.
At some point. And I think I've got a couple of guys. I want to bring a couple of Iowa State wrestling fans I know into the conversation. And then we can all have a talk about that program. I actually think it'd be a very well-listened-to podcast. Okay, let's rehash. I don't want to talk about Iowa State TCU. Let's look at off-season football conversations. Top one right now, without question, I think, is Wally Burnham's future at Iowa State. Paul Rhodes, after the 55-3 loss to TCU, said that he anticipates his staff coming back next year. He did not plan on firing anyone. Now, that's how seriously can you take that right after a game? I don't know which reporter. I think it was Tommy who asked, and props to Tommy for asking the question. But I think we all know things can change. You know, that was right in the heat of the moment. I'll go on the record right now. It is Tuesday, December 9th. I believe Wally Burnham will be Iowa State's defensive coordinator in 2015. He will not get fired. Now, if Wally decides he wants to retire, that's another story. I don't think he's going to, though. I think he has another year left in him. I think Shane Burnham comes back. And, Rob, I know this won't be popular with a lot of the fans out there. I think it's the right move, though, because I think Paul Rhodes has 1 year left. And he has to win. And frankly, that defense isn't very good. They don't have very good players, top to bottom, right?
Yep.
And they're inexperienced.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you know you have 1 year left, blowing the thing up and completely changing everything with these – they haven't recruited that well on that side of the ball, clearly, as we saw this year. Now, some of those young guys could get a lot better. Who knows? But from what we know and what we have seen, I just don't know if blowing the thing up and starting from scratch, when you know you have 1 year to win, I don't know if that's a good decision. I think both Burnhams are back in 2015.
No, I think so too. I mean, the only question I had was what you mentioned in there is, does Wally retire? Because obviously he's been at this game for a long time, and to see that level of performance. I mean, just some games where they couldn't stop the run at all. Guys weren't in position to stop the run. It had to be tough because, you know, he wasn't coaching them to be in those, you know, to be out of position. He wasn't coaching people to miss gaps. He wasn't, you know, et cetera, et cetera. They just unfortunately, due to some degree attrition and like you said, recruiting, some of the guys maybe were just recruited as athletes and just have been slow to pick up the schemes and you know, their assignments and everything else. But
I still think, though, if you add Coe and Irving, it's a totally different story.
It's potentially a serviceable defense, I think, because you have that type of size and athleticism in there.
It was a serviceable defense early in the year, though, is my point. It was when they
– Well, Chevin Miller was the – you know, he was the domino that couldn't fall.
Yeah, and when it fell.
Yep.
Woo!
And that's unfortunately, you know, a good program that is enjoying success, that is at the level that you know, at least bare minimum level they want to be, can survive not only that loss but another one or two key losses on either side of the ball. They can find a way to patch the holes and move on and still be pretty good. But unfortunately, at Iowa State, with the lack of depth and the lack of knowledge with some of the guys that are providing the depth that's there, there's just a huge drop-off. It's a catastrophic event when you lose a key player.
Now, let's look ahead, though, because they did, and you reported on this yesterday, DeMond?
I believe, yeah.
Or
yeah,
DeMond Tucker, the top-ranked junior college defensive tackle in college football, is committed to Iowa State. You've talked to DeMond. So he had basically chose Iowa State over Kansas State, correct?
That's what he told me a few weeks ago.
JUCO
yeah.
U. So, the obvious question: why would this kid go to Iowa State? Is playing time is what it sounds like, right? Because he knows. I mean, the second and I want to point out too, and this is important. Look at Jack Whitford and I spent a long time on Cyclone Reaction on Saturday. We didn't really talk much about TCU. Mm-hmm. We're more looking forward to how can this program get better.
Yep.
And you know, a young man who I was really impressed by this year is Dale Pearson.
Mm-hmm.
The Kansas game stood out to me, and I go, of a defense that looks asleep out there, this is a young man who came to play, and he was making plays.
Yep.
Against TCU, he was second on the team in tackles. Mm-hmm. He had a sack. Yep. He had a couple of sacks in the last 3 weeks. And what you have here, Rob, is you have a junior college guy who shows up in August and doesn't really get into the flow of things until the last fourth of the season, just like Rodney Coe did as a junior. So when you get DeMond Tucker coming in December, that's huge. Because if he's coming in the fall, I almost consider it a non-factor for 2015. This kid can play, though. If he's coming in December, like they're, you know, like he's, like the reports have stated, and he's saying. Like
that's the plan.
Huge.
Yep.
That's huge.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, you look at other guys, like Trent Taylor was in the same situation as Pearson. You know, he didn't show up maybe quite as much on the stat sheet toward the end, but I mean, he showed some things too. You're starting to build some size along there, and I think you can mix and match. I mean, next season is it possible for Mitchell Myers to move back to the outside? I think it probably is, particularly if some of the other pieces fall into place. And yes, Terry Ianni, expected to be good to go.
Gabe Luna.
Yeah,
he's a defensive end.
Who got hurt on campus. Ianni did it right before graduating, I think, at New Mexico Military Institute. But, I mean, those are guys that were very promising players. Now, Ianni and Luna have been on campus this whole time, at least. And I know Luna, you know, was trying to play. And Ianni couldn't because of the ACL. But, you know, that's – again, but we're always talking about potential. And that's – That's both the exciting thing and scary thing about next season, because it's been there. That's kind of been the talk every year for the defensive line, and then something always happens with guy A, guy B. Then you're relying on guy C to do a lot more. He gets hurt. Then you have D. Then you got the same dilemma you've had before. But at least on paper, and again, a guy like Tucker, you know, was the 2013 Junior College Defensive Player of the Year, had 10 tackles, you know, 9.5 sacks this season. I mean, he should be an instant upgrade. And, yeah, the words he said resonated with him the most were instant starter.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that he'd be able to play with Jordan Harris, you know, the red-shirting linebacker who he played with over there down in Mississippi.
Heard on from a good source that Jordan Harris is already the number one middle linebacker on campus. Hmm. Like second after the TCU game, he's number one.
So why the red shirt?
Well, because he wasn't ready. Or, he wasn't going to play over Jevin Miller. Miller got hurt so late in the year that it really didn't make sense to burn the red shirt then.
And he's such a natural for that particular linebacker spot that you
– And I'm not saying he's Jeremiah George.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Okay? And it doesn't take much to beat out Alton Meeks and Kane Seeley at this point in time. Now, they could get better. But from what I understand, he's already number one.
Yeah. Well, I mean –
He has to be.
Look at where he came, you know, highly touted coming out. I remember at the introductory press conference, Rhodes talking about how hard he hits. And you look over and he's got this sort of – you know, very broad grin on his face, and there's a little bit of laughter in the room. I mean, he seemed to, I'm going to get out there, and I'm going to hit a lot of people. I'm going to hit them hard. Seeley and Meeks are athletes, though. I mean, I think they're going to make a mark. Just got to find the right spot for them.
Meeks just, like, he looks slow. Both of those guys looked very slow to me.
Well, I think that was probably not – That was kind of wrong place at times.
Because
I think
so confused.
Because those guys were both great wrestlers, and that tells me that we keep coming back to wrestling.
Yeah, we love wrestling today.
And the agility, the quickness that you get from that. I mean, I've mused before that Alton Meeks has the frame to be like a speed rusher or something.
Yeah.
I think it would be interesting to see if he could be a guy who you could kind of bring in off the edge, Ronnie Nelson style someday. I mean, that's just kind of like an off-the-wall thought that crossed
Nelson
my mind every now and then.
Blast from the past.
Yeah. But those guys are both excellent athletes.
It's
just a matter of being in the system, playing in the system long enough to truly get it 100% of the time.
If Wally Burnham were sitting here with us, he would point out that Alton Meeks had never played defense really until he had
quarterback
gotten Iowa State. And then he broke his leg.
Yep.
Did he break his leg or blow out his knee? I think he broke his leg. He was committed to Cincinnati to play quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And then he decommits, goes to Iowa State.
Yeah.
I remember writing the story that he and Colin Bevins, who's gone, another wrestler, but they had wrestled against each other in some, like, AAU deal.
Yeah.
Whatever. But your point well taken on the wrestling. But, again, I'm hearing that Jordan – and he should be, because they brought him in to play last year and he wasn't ready.
Yep.
So
–
I mean, if not, it's a huge miss, and he's your guy.
Yeah, and if this is true, I mean, it's a huge hit.
It's true.
Hit because,
I wouldn't say
what I mean is if it pans out that way, I should say. I mean,
if it
truly occurs as is projected, because you've got guys that can, I don't know, Luke Knott got, you know, beat out, quote unquote, down the stretch, but I mean, you know, he can play. You know, he's savvy. You know, he's going to be there in certain spots, and I think he's going to be a key contributor, frankly. But I mean, it's the promise, the potential talk we're having here, and I guess that's what off seasons are for. And there's definitely some there.
Have you heard anything about TJ Mutcherson?
I haven't heard anything new.
They got to keep that kid.
Yeah, he's a playmaker.
At this point in Rhodes' tenure, you do what you can to keep that kid.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's as important as recruiting this year, is retaining the guys you currently have.
Yep.
And Mutcherson is, as far as playmaking ability goes on that defense, he's right there with anybody.
Yeah, I agree. Some of those couple interceptions he had early in the season, I mean, he had a nose for the ball.
Because that was always his deal. I mean, he's always been athletic and his body's been ready. Mentally, he hasn't been there. Well, now mentally he's caught up. You don't want to lose him now.
Yeah.
Kind of like Charlie Rogers. I mean, you lose him and, you know, he's going to play for Jerry Kill at Minnesota next year. He'll be all Big Ten probably by the time. I think he's that good. I think he can be a really nice player.
Yep.
All right. Here's a crystal ball prediction. Bobby Leith, D tackle, another JUCO out of the state of Kansas, that would be.
Is he a Butler guy?
Yeah. He will be an Iowa State Cyclone. Crystal ball prediction.
Another big, huge get.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at this point, I go by offers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe that's wrong, but I don't really give a crap how many star. My old deal is if a two-star has 20 offers, like legit offers, then he's probably better than a two-star. If a four-star has three offers, why does he have three offers?
Mm-hmm.
That was the deal with Charlie Rogers that always bothered me about him. He had the measurables. He's in Iowa City. Why hasn't Iowa offered him? Why didn't Iowa offer him the second time?
He'd had some issues. Some scrapes with the law, mm-hmm. I know, as well. But, yeah, I mean, they'd have a chance to see him all the time. And I think, you know, they were the proverbial interest without the offer kind of thing, figuring that maybe he'd decide to stay there. And his journey's kind of an interesting one.
Yeah. But, well, this Leith kid, though, I mean, he's a warm body. They need a warm body. They need D-tackles. They need JUCOs to.
Yep.
So that's good news. I don't see him being the DeMond Tucker type difference maker.
Yeah, but you get, again, big body. That's the key.
You get it so you don't have to play Robbie Garcia 40 snaps.
Yeah, exactly. And Devlin Cousin, who came along, I mean, he showed some things down the stretch, too, particularly toughness in playing through that elbow deal, I think it was.
And props to Devlin Cousin, too, because when that trio came in of Cousin, Bevins, and Pierre Aka, mm-hmm. who would have thought at that time Cousin was the lowest on that totem pole, and he's turned out to be the best. I think Devlin Cousins, if he's healthy, is a nice player. He's not a great player, mm-hmm. but he's a nice player. He's serviceable.
Yep.
And he's still got 2 years left. So, man, we're kind of grasping for straws on the positivity. The point is, you got to develop these guys. You can't lose them.
Yes.
You know, it comes back to the conversation we were having with TJ Mutcherson. All right. That's all I have on the recruiting trail. Before we go, let's have a 10-minute conversation or so on what happened with the Big 12 on Saturday night and on Sunday. I was mucking it up pretty good on Twitter, really sticking it to the Big 10. This is just my take. I don't have a problem philosophically with Ohio State making the college football playoff.
Mm-hmm.
They have one loss. They won their conference.
And it was an early loss.
Yeah. The eye test, they look good. I don't know if Baylor could beat them. I don't know. To me, it's not like a lock. You know what I mean? That's a toss-up game.
In terms of matchups, I would like TCU against Ohio State better than Baylor.
As would I. But I did have a problem, though, because the Big Ten is not a very good league. Whatever measurable you stack it up to, it's not a very good league. Mm-hmm. It's non-conference record. Stack up every bowl game this year.
Yeah.
The Big Ten is an underdog in every game that they are playing. So I have a problem with going Big Ten over Big 12 this year, but I'm not going to kill Ohio State. They did what they – not a big deal. Which leads to the greater question now. You've got a lot of knee-jerk reacting going on with the Big 12 conference, people asking, should you have a championship game? Should you expand? Yada, yada, yada. What do you think? Where are you at on this? Because I'll be honest with you, I don't think expansion's coming unless they can get somebody to sweeten that TV pot. Because that's the thing, people. That's really what it's about,
mm-hmm.
is the television money. And, you know, I've seen Cincinnati tossed around. To me, BYU would make sense. I don't know how you can't make more money if you add BYU to the mix, but they've got that big deal with ESPN. Currently pays them like $1 million per game right now, so they're doing pretty well on their own. But it surely, with the current landscape of college football, getting into a Power 5 would be beneficial to them. But I've just seen a lot of stuff getting tossed around here, and I guess I'm just not convinced that all of a sudden the Big 12 is going to be like, yep, we're adding four teams. I don't think it's going to happen that way. What have you read? What do you think about that?
It's harder to do now, because, you know, the power players, excuse me, let's face it, are the SEC and the Big 10 in terms of money, in terms of
prestige,
and the amount of fans they have given their – you know, where they sit in terms of areas. I mean, there aren't, you know, Big Ten has the largest media markets in the Midwest and has dabbled into the East, although obviously the Rutgers ones and the Maryland's one, New York, D.C., nobody cares about those. Yeah, that's just window dressing. But that's, you know, I'll say real quick about that. Is there a place, we know money rules politics, right? And it has for a long time. Does it have to rule every single thing that has a measure of politics in it, like the college football playoff? Because you can't tell me that there was not a thought of, boy, who draws
exactly
on TV? Who draws? And if you're going to do these week-by-week rankings, don't make what is perceived as a statement by moving a team up to third above the national champion like they did TCU, and then say, you know what, you're actually sixth.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, Ohio State, you know, beat Wisconsin so bad, and you know, Florida State is actually better than you, you know. It just makes no sense. I mean, it seems as if they were almost plotting to lose credibility and make it almost farcical, and maybe I don't know, but that's the farce element of it.
Because if they truly thought Ohio State was so impressive on Saturday night, which they were, Florida State was not impressive in their win over Georgia Tech.
No, they weren't impressive in about eight of their wins.
Yeah, so that's truly how you feel. Then bump Ohio State up, but keep TCU at four, and don't put Florida State in there.
Yeah,
I mean, this is what it all comes down to for me. And again, I want to make it clear. I have no problem with Ohio State. Whatever.
No, I agree there.
But and I would love for anybody on the committee and anybody at ESPN to answer this question for me. Look me in the eye with their hand on a Bible and tell me if Baylor and TCU were Oklahoma and Texas, that the Big 12 would not be represented.
Yeah.
I'll call your BS on that right now.
Absolutely.
Guarantee you.
Absolutely. I mean, I'd even throw an Oklahoma State into the mix.
Sure.
I mean, Baylor and TCU have small alumni bases. They're small, private institutions.
Iowa State is larger than both.
By far.
Correct.
And, you know, just looking back to a couple years ago, Baylor had problems. I mean, DCU had problems packing that stadium. I don't think they were sold out for that Big 12 opener that Iowa State spanked them in.
They were not sold out on Saturday against Iowa State.
No, I mean, it filled in sort of as the game went on, at least from the TV perspective. But, yeah, pregame, I mean, that's a really late arriving crowd. So, sadly, all those things factor in. I mean, you exchange a computer, which is looking at raw numbers and data and all that, for the human element, which is going to be swayed by these things. Who's going to get the more eyeballs on the TV set? Who's going to get this? I mean, and then you get, of course, then the conspiracy. There couldn't be conspiracy theorists when there was, computers basically deciding it.
Correct.
Now it's, Barry Alvarez to Tom Osborne. Well, who are they tied to now?
It is a little bit, though, and I won't lie. I thought of that.
I just don't understand why they made that part of the mix. I mean, again, another built-in flaw into this idea of the college football playoff, which four teams always seem like too little. So maybe there's a grand plan to sort of make it such a disaster in terms of consistency or in terms of, logic in year one. You'll probably have to do eight teams. You know, I mean, that's the only – I mean, I'm just sort of grasping for straws myself here, but, I mean, there were just so many things wrong with it. But I did derail from the expansion talk. I mean, I think they should have expanded when they had a chance
I agree.
BYU makes total sense to me, but others have made a point that think of all those sports that, yes, they're going to stay fun. All the Olympic sports, you know, if there's going to be a tennis meet, the West Virginia has to play at BYU. I mean, the costs associated with that. It's all part of being in the league, right?
Mm-hmm.
But is it that much more? I mean, you're making trips to Lubbock. You're making trips. I mean, so there's a lot of – and BYU offers a ton. There's money galore there.
That's the difference between BYU.
And there's some prestige too.
Yeah, well, like BYU and Boise. Boise brings you a great football program, but it brings you crap for academics. It doesn't have a lot of the things that BYU brings to the mix. What I would have done is when you added West Virginia and TCU, add Louisville and –
Yep.
Cincinnati at the same
Louisville
time.
That was a big
And I get it. Like, if anybody were here who were in those meetings, they would tell us it was the TV money. That was the situation they had with 10 going to the 9-game conference schedule.
Yep.
Was the most lucrative deal that they could sign. Now, at the same time, what the problem I had with it is you're watching everybody in college athletics go one way, but we're going to be the ones who go another.
Yep.
And at some point, that's going to bite you. Just from a perception standpoint, honestly, I like the way the Big 12 does it. And I think conference championship games are a sham, dude. They usually suck.
Yep.
Like, how many crappy Big 12 title games did we see back in the day?
Yeah, and look at how the divisions would break down if they expanded now. I mean, and no offense to some teams, but I mean, it would almost be like a major league team versus a AAA team. I mean, when you look at where it would break down, you've got Baylor, Texas, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State.
Draw a line vertically.
Yeah, you'd have to mix and match.
You almost have to. You almost have to. Because otherwise, you're going to have what? For a football league, Iowa State, Kansas State, West Virginia, and what? Oklahoma State?
Or you're Cincinnati or,
if you would add, But I'm just thinking of the ones you have right now. Would be a total haves and the have not. My point is these Clay Travis wrote, it was like a week ago, and I couldn't agree with him more. Screw the championship games, grow the playoff to eight teams. Mm-hmm. Every conference champion's getting in. Yep. Then you can have a Boise or, maybe a Utah State 1 year, a BYU, or, you fit Notre Dame in, wherever they – and that to me would be a much more interesting tournament. And I get, part of the intrigue, and they did it well, is this debate over four, five, and six. It's been fascinating. But I just think for over the next 10 years, there's no way they don't go to eight. And if you do that, just get rid of the championship games all. Because the thing is, the Big Ten, we'll use the SEC for instance. They have their championship game between Alabama and Missouri. How many teams in the SEC are better than Missouri?
Just about every team in Dallas.
Exactly. That's my point. And so is it really a championship game? It's a figurehead deal where you're putting your two division champions or whatever, but I'd much rather have seen Alabama play Auburn again or Alabama play Mississippi State. And in the Big Ten, they don't even play each other. Iowa will go 4 years without playing X school or whatever.
Didn't play Ohio State.
So, do you get what I'm saying? The championship game thing to me is just not that big of a deal. What you should do is take advantage of the extra time, grow your playoffs. You're going to make a lot more money. I know. Think about what ad sales are going to go for those play-in games or whatever you want to call them to the college football playoff. The conferences could still do whatever they want, but instead of just forcing championship game down my throat, just grow the playoff for crying out loud. That's what I think.
Well, it's good for the SEC and the Big Ten, though, to have it that way. Frankly, I think the SEC has it figured out the way that they do it because you get those. Who was it? I'm trying to remember. Mississippi State. There were some teams where the way they played, there was in the other division, they put – and it might not have been Mississippi
State.
They play Vanderbilt and Kentucky. But, yes, they get the – instead of an extra bye, they do that FCS breather in which they kind of still stay sharp.
In November.
They've got to figure out how they plot it out. And obviously they have great talent in that conference. But it's also – I agree with what you said about the other things, moving to eight teams and all that. But that's if we're truly trying to get the top four teams into the playoff. And I would contend that in some cases they're trying to get the four most interesting teams into the playoff.
I like this, Rob. You're going more the conspiracy theory route. I love this.
I don't think there's any doubt that when push comes to shove, who's going to be? These are business decisions.
This is the problem with ESPN being in everybody's pants.
Well, there's
could have probably put that a little better way, but ESPN is in everybody's pants right now.
There are a lot of things out there that from, and not just Twitter feeds, but legit news organizations that looked at how much, or in sports news, mm-hmm. that looked at how much attention on SportsCenter conferences were getting. And SECs has been way through the roof. I think Big 12 was way at the bottom with virtually nothing, and it was SEC, Big 10, blah, blah, blah. Now, again, I'm not saying anybody sits around and says, we want – before, 3 weeks ago, we want these four teams in the playoffs. It's not that simple, but when push comes to shove, in business decisions, people are going to make a decision. They're going to pick what the most lucrative option is.
And I'll say this too. I think part of the Big 12's problem right now is who's on top. If it would be much more – I say this a lot, but Texas being good is good for everybody in this league.
Because
the last thing you want is them to get wandering eyes.
Yep.
That would be catastrophic for us and our employment and everybody at Iowa State.
And Iowa State,
So, I don't know. Hopefully Charlie Strong gets things – but do you think – okay, we'll wrap it up with this. If Ohio State defeated Wisconsin by 3, game-winning field goal, 17-14, would they have still made the playoff, you think?
Based on how it turned out, I would hope so. And I say that because the only thing I can say is they said Ohio State played a quality opponent. They played a quality opponent and beat them. Beat them bad. Now, if it is going to be about strictly,
Baylor played a better opponent and beat them, but go ahead.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's – well, that's why none of it makes sense to me. I mean, they're going to say – you know what? They're going to weigh the non-conference stuff, that Baylor had the weakest non-conference schedule in FBS, and they did.
Did they mention the 9-game conference schedule? Because I
well, that's the other thing.
Because I never heard anybody bring that up.
No,
on Saturday.
No. They didn't. So if they're going to weigh that, the problem is if they're weighing one game that much. If they're really going to weigh one game that much, when Ohio State lost at home and convincingly lost at home to Virginia Tech, even if they didn't know Virginia Tech was going to be a mediocre at best team, they're 6-6, right?
It's the definition.
Playing lousy, you know, they didn't play a whole lot of juggernauts. Although Ohio State was one, apparently.
Terrible.
That should have had at least as much significance. You know, it's the recency bias. It's the, oh, well, it was the last game and they came through and this and then. TCU couldn't control that they were playing an Iowa State team that was having a bad year. They couldn't control that. They could control how they played, and they played pretty damn well.
They beat them 55-3.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know.
It's a mess. I know we don't need to get into the politics of it. You and I think very much alike on a lot of things. Mm. This is the type of crap that drives us crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you and I, what I would love to do is have, like, an XM satellite radio show with no sponsors where we could just really – I mean, I think if you can read between the tea leaves, you understand why we're irked.
Yeah.
By this deal.
Yeah.
We're trying to keep this somewhat professional.
Yes.
But, I mean, if you're feeling what I'm feeling, like, this really bothered me just – and again, got no problem with Ohio State. I think it's a fine football team. I don't think they're going to beat Alabama, but they're going to play with them. Urban Meyer's a great coach, but this whole thing stinks. Like, it's just fishy to me.
Yep.
Based on, and I thought Skip Bayless, who I don't agree with very often.
No, agreed.
But he ranted on Twitter about this, and I thought he called out the network that he works for.
Yeah.
He was doing.
Yeah, I give him credit for that.
Yeah, absolutely. I gave him a lot of props. All right, so you're going to wrestling now. Basketball tonight, UMKC. And most of you are probably listening to this on Wednesday, so we will do coming up on Wednesday, Scott Sipker, the Iowa Nice guy, is going to come in. He's going to podcast with me. He's got a big play coming up, so we're going to promote his play a little bit, but we're also going to talk sports. I'm sure there'll be more Big 10, Big 12 type discussion. We'll also look ahead to the big basketball game on Friday. Wednesday night is our radio show. This week, no Thursday show because of Bill Finley's team playing Iowa on Thursday night. We don't want to interrupt that. So we'll be on from 6 to 7 on KXNO Wednesday night. I'll have an assistant on. I'm going to try and get Cornell Mann on the program on Wednesday night to preview Iowa. Brent Bloom will be there as well.
Cool.
Thanks, Rob.
Hey.
Good having you in, man.
Appreciate it. I'm not always branded a conspiracy theorist, but
I love this.
It's going to happen. Going to happen. There's going to be fishiness.
It's inevitable, man. You get money involved. You get a bunch of egos.
Yep.
And that's the thing,
too. And you get all these power players in a, you know, secret room.
I have a great amount of respect for Tom Osborne.
Yes. But Albert, I mean, I have a lot of respect for most of those people.
But my whole point is, and I'm sitting here having this podcast with you, and I can fully admit that I'm probably biased toward the Big 12.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's human nature.
Yes.
I'm around it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I go to their media days. I'm around their coaches.
Yep.
I cover the league. And I am. Because I like to think I'm as much of a fan of this stuff as you guys are. I write about it, and I try and keep myself objective. But there's human interest. There's human bias that comes into things.
Mm-hmm.
So you're telling me that these guys who have Big Ten tattooed all over their ass, okay, are not going to be a little bit biased? Yeah. That's the problem.
It's hard not to be.
And yeah,
You know what we should get is the mayor's dad on to talk a little sociology.
We should.
I mean,
get the mayor's dad.
It delves maybe a little bit more into psychology and all that. But, I mean, the idea that you can claim to be as objective as you want, but if you have a lot of things imprinted on you before that would lead you to think positively about certain things over certain other things because of your experience with those things.
Subconsciously,
you could try to control it, but things crop up subconsciously. It's like the foul calls in the NBA.
Yep.
When the stars get the calls and the up-and-coming guys are the guys who are journeymen don't. It's not hardly ever, I would think, a ref going, oh, Kobe was definitely – well, he wasn't fouled, but he's going to get the call because he's a star.
Yep.
It was because he's a star. It's kind of back there. Oh, that guy blocked his shot?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's like Ben Bruns used to say, when Nebraska would come to town and Ben would pancake a guy, get a flag thrown on him just because the Iowa State guy is not supposed to pancake the Nebraska guy.
Yeah.
And you're telling me, too, like these old guys, not disrespecting their age.
Mm-hmm.
You know how Tom Osborne played football.
Mm-hmm.
You know how Barry Alvarez plays football.
Yep.
You're telling me they're not a little bit biased against the brand of football that's played in the Big 12 Conference.
That's a good point.
You're telling me that they're
power just, football, yeah. Pro sets.
You're telling me those guys don't have a problem with Art Briles football at all? Come on.
Yeah.
Come on. I guarantee you they do.
Yeah. I would tend to agree on that.
Thanks, Rob.
Hey, thank you, Chris.
Iowa Clinic Men's Center, iamenscenter.com. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll have another podcast tomorrow. Also, again, the big radio show on Wednesday night on 1460 KXNO. Basketball coverage Friday. Rob and Jared will have coverage from tonight. I'll be at Daddy Boot Camp, so don't look for tweets or anything like that. But I'm going to come home, I think, and watch the game on my DVR, and I'll like live tweet it after the fact.
So you'll be like the late show.
Yeah, that'll be me.
Excellent.
I'll be Craig Kilborn.
There you go.
See you, everybody.